Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, February 18th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is presenting the sermon today entitled, Behold the Lamb. Our Old Testament readings today are from Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 through 17, and the book of Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 24.
A bunch of kids were starting a game of tag. One, two, three, not it. So that nobody had to be it. But of course the last one to say not it becomes it for the start of the game. The one who wasn't paying quite as close attention. Not it. Not me. Those phrases, though, are more common than how we start a game of tag. It's an old trope. Now we would call it an old meme. To have the scene, whether it's in the comics or whether it's in, you know, a GIF or JIF, right? The scene of the broken vase or the empty cookie jar, and the parent who walks in and looks at the faces of three children who all go, I don't know how that happened. It's funny when we can see it, you know, in the face of a dog, where the dog's also, you know, now there's all the cat stuff on the internet, and the dog's like, where did this mess come from? And you can just see the scattered, you know, tissue on the floor. But you know, when adults do it, it's not quite so humorous. Have you witnessed a workplace meeting with a manager who's asking, what went wrong? And everybody around the table has the poker face. Or a family member or a friend who didn't show up for a lunch or a party or an appointment, and instead of just saying, I'm sorry, brings up an excuse. There was a lot happening that day. And just doesn't own the harm of that broken promise. Or perhaps you notice it all the time by what we hear on our political leaders on both sides of the aisle. Mistakes were made. Things could have gone differently. Or the classic avoiding the topic altogether and diverting your attention elsewhere. They call this the pivot. And so this idea of finding out who's responsible and who's not responsible when something goes wrong gets really confusing really fast. And when no one takes responsibility, we get left with the other phrase I hear a lot these days, it is what it is. Lent, as a season in the church year, is about taking responsibility and taking responsibility for sin. It's looking and acknowledging sin face to face. I get how countercultural this is. Because there's a part of me, and I'm wondering if there's a part in you too, that would much rather focus on the good stuff. Grace is enough. Joy to the world. Comfort of Jesus Christ. Can't we just talk about love? The nice, warm, and fuzzy gospel. But Lent is a time we open up and we look at some of those prophets. Prophets like Amos, who confronted God's people with pretty direct and judgmental words. I hate your festivals. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't accept your offerings. Ouch! Who's this Amos who's claiming to speak for God? Well, Amos was a prophet who lived in the 8th century BCE. He spoke and wrote these words to a nation that was in a time of prosperity. It was a short but relatively peaceful time for a country that regularly struggled for survival. From Amos's account, yes, the people were coming to worship God regularly in a beautiful temple. And I think that those ancient worshipers might have been as shocked and surprised to hear these words as much as it hits our ears today. Let me be clear. I don't think that Amos is saying that worshiping God is the problem, that we should not be singing with a guitar and voices, that God's grace is enough. But Amos is pointing out in no uncertain terms that a worship that is all about praise to God is incomplete. For yes, when you look at the cross, there's a vertical component to our worship. We love God. We praise you, God. Jesus loves me. The Holy Spirit is with us. But and what those ancient worshipers were missing was the care for the world around them. Their sin was becoming too insular, too isolated. And in doing so, becoming uncaring and unaware and passive in the face of the injustices around them. That's the incompleteness that Amos is calling them to. That there needs to be, like in the cross, a horizontal bar, not just the vertical. The horizontal bar is loving your neighbors. It's caring for the poor. It's caring about injustice. Hear these words from another prophet. Not a biblical one, but one that speaks to the churches in America. Yes, I see the church as the body of Christ, but oh, how blemished and scarred that body through social neglect and through fear of being nonconformists. So often the contemporary church is a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often, it's an arch defender of the status quo. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silent and often even vocal sanction of things as they are. But the judgment of God is upon the church as never before. If today's church does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authenticity, forfeit the loyalty of millions, and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 20th century. Every day I meet young people whose disappointment with the church has turned to outright disgust. Perhaps once again I have been too optimistic. Is organized religion too inextricably bound to the status quo to save our nation and the world? This prophet, do you recognize him? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In his letter to the Birmingham jail in 1963, as he sat jailed for speaking up for justice, he addresses this letter to the clergymen who were advising him, slow down. Don't speak out too loud, Dr. King. And he writes this, I feel that the white ministers, priests, and rabbis of the South would have been among our strongest allies. Instead, some have been outright opponents, refusing to understand the freedom movement and misrepresenting its leaders. All too many others have been more cautious than courageous and have remained silent behind the anesthetizing security of stained glass windows. Anesthetizing security of stained glass windows. While it is possible we could brush off Martin Luther King's words from 1963 and say it is what it is, we also have the choice to allow these judgments to hit us in the heart and to help us be honest. To be facing honest with our sinfulness of passivity. To be honest with our communal church's sin of paying so much attention to our me and Jesus worship that we are overbalanced in the vertical sense and have made smaller efforts in the horizontal. And this honesty and conviction that this judgment hits close to home before ourselves, before God, is not bad news. It ends up being good news because it leads us into the depths of grace. For in Psalm 51, as we read together today, God desires our honest confession. God desires our broken hearts, the acknowledgement of our sinfulness. God accepts us and forgives us and then places our feet on the right path. But it is only through this process of looking honestly and then forgiving and then learning that we can grow. Think about a time you might have tried to teach someone else after an error. It's so much easier to teach someone when they own their ignorance and they say, I don't know how to do that. And they accept your direction. I'm looking at the teachers in the room, right? Who are like, oh yeah, right? God longs to teach us the ways to live rightly, both in our vertical relationship with God and how we treat others in our society. So I believe today in this church, it's our turn to repent of the sinfulness of inaction in the face of injustice and to set our feet on the path that God longs for us to follow. And we have paths and leaders to follow, but God is not done with us yet. Here again from Dr. Martin Luther King. We will have to repent in this generation not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of good people. Human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of men, I'll add, and women, willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the forces of social stagnation. We must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always ripe to do right. But it goes on to say, I'm thankful to God for some of the noble souls from the ranks of organized religion who have broken loose from the paralyzing chains of conformity and joined us as active partners in the struggle for freedom. They have left their secure congregations and walked the streets of Albany, Georgia with us. They have gone down the highways of the South on tortuous rides for freedom. Yes, they have gone to jail with us. Some have been dismissed from their churches, have lost the support of their bishops and fellow ministers, but they have acted in the faith that right defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. Their witness has been the spiritual salt that has preserved the true meaning of the gospel in these troubled times. They have carved a tunnel of hope through the dark mountain of disappointment. I hope the church as a whole will meet the challenge of this decisive hour. I join that hope as well, that we as a church and that we individually can and will take steps to be active in our society. I too hope that we will find that the time to do right is now, is this decisive hour of February 2018 in Vallejo, California. And as we, individually and as a church, raise our voices for justice, to intentionally turn our attention to the issues of unfairness in our city, when we speak and stand in solidarity with people who struggle against unfair laws, we will indeed be worshiping God fully, both with the vertical and the horizontal, and become part of God's glorious waterfall of justice. I trust and believe that we can be part of the waters. And so we hear again from the prophet Amos, calling to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.